Have you filled up your car recently? In some parts of the United Kingdom, due to the shortage of tanker drivers, many have resorted to plastic bottles and other inventive ways of trying to buy as much fuel as they possibly can in a perceived crisis over fuel. The idea of running on empty when now some filling stations are unable to supply fuel is seen as being risky, whereas before it was something of the norm. Let's hope this crisis in some areas is quickly resolved. But it made me think about how often as Christians we are content to run on low or even on empty. What do I mean by this? That's this week's thought on milk and meat. In light of the tanker shortage and the recent crisis over fuel, my mind immediately goes to the words of the Apostle Paul in his letter to the church at Ephesus. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5 and verse 18. These timely words were part of a series of exhortations from the Apostle Paul. He wrote about the need to redeem time. Why? Because the days were evil. And remember, dear friend, that still applies to this very day. He tells them in that same passage in Ephesians chapter 5 that they were not to be unwise. And then he goes on in the next breath, we might say, to affirm something else. But instead, understanding the will of the Lord. And so in a similar style, that is warning against one thing and yet then encouraging something else, he writes the very words which I brought before you in Ephesians 5 verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's clear to see that the warning and what it means. Paul is warning against the sin of drunkenness, and that is obvious to see in Scripture. But as a way of then positively instructing the child of God, he goes on in the next phase to say, but be filled with the Spirit. The question we ask is, what does that mean exactly? What is it to live a Spirit-filled life? What is it for the Christian to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? If you are a Christian and you know and love the Lord, there is something already which has happened to you with respect to the work and the Holy Spirit of God. First of all, he has made you alive. In our authorized version, we have such words as being quickened, being made alive. And that is something which has happened within you. It is part of our regeneration. We might say that God, through the Holy Spirit of God, has moved upon those dark and those deep waters of unbelief, if we use the same picture there in creation, and that spiritual deadness, and he's made you a new creature in Jesus Christ. This is his work of regeneration. But also Paul reminds us in the earlier stages of his letter to Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1, that after trusting, after saving faith, there was a sealing by the Holy Spirit of promise. If we struggle to get our mind around what that means, it might help to read 2 Corinthians 1 verse 22 and the following words, and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. And the word earnest conveys the idea of a pledge. And simply put, something of the influences of the Spirit of God in our heart act as a pledge of future glory which awaits us. In other words, the comfort that we know through the ministry and the person of the Holy Spirit of God confirms to us and assures us of a greater, vaster, endless well of comfort which is there for us in glory itself. And that's a lovely thought to encourage yourself with, that the work of God within, the strivings of God, the comfort through the Holy Spirit. Remember how the Lord Jesus says he will not leave you comfortless. He will come to you. And that through the Spirit he reveals the things of Christ. These are pledges. These are earnest seals of greater things which are yet to come. However, there is even more. There is a need, as we see here in Ephesians 5:18, to be filled by the Spirit of God. But why does Paul mention this by way of contrast with drunkenness? At first glance, it might seem a bit strange. I mean, fine, we get that. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. We get that. We know drunkenness is a sin, as with all other sins. But how do you factor in this next part, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, or be filled with the Spirit? Well, it's a very important connection and contrast. You see, drunkenness leads to many more sins. It is never alone. It destroys, it upsets, it ruins, and eventually, outside of Christ, all who die in their sin, it will damn every person in a Christless hell. And remember, there's also a false look to drunkenness. In the world around us, and for many years, it's celebrated. There's a great hypocrisy in our world. On one hand, there is an admission that it causes great harm and damage in society. And yet, on the other hand, there is a celebration of it. People speak about going to get drunk. It's egged on. It's encouraged. People are enthused along these lines. And they laugh at others when they're in drunkenness. We see videos of people staggering around, and it entertains people. And the reality is, it's shameful. It's brokenness. It doesn't just hurt the individual, it ruins homes and lives along with it. God's people are not like this. They're not to be drunken, but they are to be something else. They are to be filled with the Spirit. And what does that result in? That results in a sober mind. It results in a likeness to Christ, a godliness, a holiness, a yearning, a walk in a way which is pleasing in the eyes of God. Remember, this is the outworking of already the work of the Spirit in making us new creatures, and there is a need now to walk in the Spirit. And if you look at Ephesians 5, verse 18, he goes on. What is the consequences of being filled with the Spirit? Well, here it is, speaking to yourselves in psalms. Often you see maybe videos or footage of drunken people trying to sing, nonsense coming out of their mouth, not for the Christian. Being filled with the Spirit means speaking to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts, giving thanks, submitting yourselves one to another. Read the list in Ephesians 5. See what it means to be filled with the Spirit. So far from imagining the Spirit-filled life to be some golden ticket to accessing all manner of supernatural powers, it is actually a lot more down to earth than this. It is a likeness to our Saviour in all aspects of our Christian life. But remember, this is the charge, Christian, and this is a challenge for me and for you. It is a need to be filled, and the thought there is continually filled with the Spirit. There is a need, therefore, if we're going to understand what that means, to constantly yield ourselves to Him. And that's the hard part. That's the part where we must lean on Him, go to Him every day, and let God rule by His Spirit and reign in every part of your life. Dear believer, let us not go through our Christian life simply living on empty, but be filled with the Spirit of God.